Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. Do you know what a theocracy is? Well, there are many in this world who are trying to show you exactly what it is. I've asked Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, to put on his professor hat today and teach us a thing or two about what a theocracy is and why we should be concerned where it can take us as a nation. Liberty Magazine is the sponsor of this program. Professor Steed, what do we need to know?
Yes, I've been reading a lot of talk about theocracy, yes. And there's no question that many of the religious entities that were empowered by President Trump's over-the-top talk of religious liberty imagined that in cooperation with him, they could sort of form a neo-theocracy. I hope we're at least past that for a while, but it's always been implicit, if you like, in the American experiment. Because the threads of settlement for this continent that we make so much of were religious, the Puritan settlements. And it's worth understanding that many millions of people landed on these shores for many different reasons, most exploitive. But the ones that we've linked to the thread of what it is to be an American are religious in nature. The Massachusetts Bay Colony and settlement and elsewhere, really in New England, typically had a Puritan religious upbringing, and they were consciously trying to develop a theocracy. They mixed religious rule and civil rule, in fact, never made a distinction, and would deal severely with anyone that moved out of line doctrinally, like Anne Hutchinson, which is, we featured it in Liberty and maybe discussed it on this program. But a woman, as far as I can see in my reading, her main problem was she was outspoken and interested in Bible study.
That's right, that's it.
Ran a few Bible lessons in her home, and this was not right, a woman to be leading out like that. And in the end, she was chastised and, as I remember, expelled from the colony.
That's right.
Not appropriate. So that was all easily done under a theocracy. And when we talk about religious liberty, we're always bumping up against a theocratic model because religious liberty, I fervently believe, is a religious principle that God holds out for us. But when you read the whole Bible, much of the Old Testament is overlaid with theocracy because for many centuries, Israel was ruled, the children of Israel, in their wanderings and then their settlement, then their wars. They were ruled by God directly, Theo, God rule. And then even when the kings came along, it was really just putting another layer beneath the rule of God. And you know, a king like Saul that disobeyed God's commands, he was out, either by the people or God removed him. And the best I can say in talking about religious liberty relative to that is we are not under a theocracy now. We cannot be because we don't know what God is saying directly to us other than in his word. And that's not dynamic enough that we can say at this moment, I know what God wants. We have to follow his principles. And a principle is allowing everyone the right to come before God and make up their mind and act as a free moral agent.
But there's the problem, Lincoln. We have a whole group of people who say, I know what God wants, and God wants us to do A, B, C, and D, and we need to start doing that.
They're the dangerous ones.
Yeah.
Let me share a few paragraphs from an article that I picked up in a recent issue of Liberty. It's an old article. I like to do this now and then to create a continuum of the Liberty message. This was printed in Liberty magazine in 1917, and I picked it up on purpose because the theocratic model is becoming more attractive as we get into all sorts of social and economic and political troubles.
You said 1917?
1917.
Okay.
At the end of World War One, they were dissipated and troubled by war. The next year, the flu epidemic killed 250,000 people in the U.S., and there was talk, and Liberty dealt with it, talk of national Sunday laws, under the assumption that this was a godly Christian nation that was a neo-theocracy. So an article was printed that year written by the president of the General Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, a good administrator. A lot of them nowadays, they couldn't write anything to save themselves, or, as is common in political circles. Sometimes you see something under their name and it was written by someone else. Good article still, but sure, you know, may not originate. Yeah. But A.G. Daniels was quite a key figure within the Adventist Church, which was not an old church at that point, only about 60 years in existence. And this is what he wrote at the beginning. He says, a theocracy, and you asked for a definition earlier, is a form of government in which all the affairs of men, whether temporal or spiritual, civil or religious, are united under the control of God. The government of Israel was a true theocracy. It was really a government of God. When doing their duty, the kings of Israel ruled the people according to the directions of God. But the kings did not always do their duty. Many of them rejected the counsel of the Lord. This was carried to such an extent by Zedekiah that God said to him, and this is interesting, from Ezekiel chapter 21, it says, thou profane, wicked prince of Israel, whose day has come when iniquity shall have an end. Thus saith the Lord of God, remove the diadem, take the crown off. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low and abase him that is high. I will overturn it, and it shall be no more until he comes whose right it is, and I will give it to him. And I think there's plenty of similar texts in the Old Testament that the era of theocracy and the presumption of it by rulers, even moral, so-called moral rulers, is gone. He says here, in fulfillment of this sentence, the kingdom of Israel was subsequently overturned three times, once by Medo-Persia, once by Greece, and once by Rome. And after the third overturning, the theocracy of Israel was removed from the earth, and according to the sentence of God, it shall be no more until he comes whose right it is, and I will give it to him. And of course, that's Christ in his explanation here, and I don't want to read too much of it. But he links it to something else that we need to understand. Most ideas have their origin in the formulation. They don't just arise full-blown out of thin air. And he says, Augustine, one of the fathers of the Roman Catholic Church, reasoned thus, it is indeed better that man should be brought to serve God by instruction than by fear of punishment or by pain. But because the former means are better, the latter must not therefore be neglected. Many must often be brought back to the Lord like wicked servants by the rod of temporal suffering before they attain to the highest grade of religious development. In other words, whack them into line. And that is what many people mean by a theocracy. Yes. The arm of the law is going to make you good. And theologically, in our age, people, certainly Christians, should understand this. You can't make people good.
That's right.
It has to arise internally, and whipping and punishments and the stocks, as the Puritans were inclined to do, or rotten eggs thrown at a profaner of religious things, it doesn't do much good at all.
When we look at history like that, we can say, yeah, we shouldn't do that. So that begs the question, Lincoln, why are we doing it?
Well, because that's human nature. We tend to, not just in religious things, that's how the state functions. Yeah. The state is not really very good, by and large, at explaining things and dealing with the finer side of human nature. We failed miserably. I remember when I first came to the U.S., Australia and America were both involved in Vietnam, a futile, crazy war. Mm-hmm. Hundreds of thousands of people were killed, and millions of young American soldiers were sent over there. Mm-hmm. The catch cry, which was a sign of failure as much as aspiration, was it was a battle for hearts and minds.
Yeah.
But how was it worked out? You know, burning down a whole village and killing often everybody there because they thought that they were sheltering the Viet Cong. Mm-hmm. And of course we lost the war. All we did by our zealous actions was create more and more antagonism toward what we were trying to do. And so it's the same with religion and the theocracy. I mean, even God's theocracy had a difficult time, but God administered it a little bit different than man does. It wasn't always the big stick. That was the absolute last resort in God's theocracy, you know, when God was, his Shekinah glory was there, and the priestly system was not generally about knocking heads. It was only on the oddest occasion, such as when they were dancing around the golden calf, that then the priest stepped in. But human theocracies easily tend to what Augustine said, whack them into heaven.
Yeah.
And in fact, there's an old joke, I don't think I've told it before. I remember hearing when I was a kid that this Irish Protestant fell into the pond and was drowning, and the Catholic priest comes by, and the guy calls out, "Please, Father, save me." And he says, Are you a child of the church?" "Well, no, I'm a Protestant." "Well," he says, "I cannot save you unless you accept the Mother Church." "Yes, yes," finally. He says, I will, please save me." He says, "God bless you, brother. Go down to your grave saved." The lesson there is it's not really about your good. Yeah. It's about winning for the side. Yeah. And that's what theocracies tend toward. Very poor at the finer spiritual things. But we're heading into that period. And we look to the Middle East, and there are a number of functioning theocracies, and they're the ones that scare us. Mm-hmm. Like in Pakistan right now, a few moments ago, we were discussing with Religious Liberty a Christian that's been brought to court for a minor infraction that was taken as impugning the Quran and something about their religion, and they've been condemned to death. You know, that's what comes of theocracies. Aggressive, violent, persecutory religion. We've had experiments. This article also mentions Calvin. So it's not just the Catholics. John Calvin, you know, whose theology was generally okay. He had a few deficiencies that led directly to the idea of once saved, always saved. But Calvin was one of the real reformers of the Reformation. And through happenstances, he ended up being the de facto ruler of Geneva. And the next thing, he's executing his religious opponent, Michael Servetus. So, you know, it comes upon people somewhat naturally in this fallen world. When they're given political power to their religious views, they often are very cruel and not adhering to the principles of freedom of religion and of conscience.
Seems to me that since the cross, any attempt that we've had in this world for a theocracy has turned into, I'm not even sure if this is the word, humocracy. It turns into a human rule as opposed to a God rule. Am I right?
Absolutely. And even, my wife's not going to listen to this, so I'll give the example. You know, I've had a few disputes with her and with, you know, on things that have a sort of a moral basis.
Yeah.
And she wants me to do what she does, so she invokes God. God will punish you for this. And I say, I don't like your God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I see that as her God. That's not God. Yeah. That's God as she's molded him. And I'm not saying she's automatically wrong.
Yeah, I know.
But it does illustrate how humans tend to think. We're witnessing this on the whole abortion debate, which I think is indicative of a loss of the image of God in society and the respect for life. But, you know, those that are opposed to it are so full of, as one of Job's comforters says, you know, you're full of the judgment of God, you know. So kill an abortion doctor because it's done such a wrong, you know. Who's given the right to do such a thing? We can't become God, judge, executioner. We need to be agents of change and of the love of God, communicating that to other people.
If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call 443-391-7258 or email us through our website at libertymagazine.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.